And now for reading and writing and radio. That static was made from the CBs of Radio Rosie and Bookworm, but it could be your static. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Breaker. I'm calling Therese Clark, over there in Teeville at Memorial School, the special reading teacher. Therese, got your reels on?
10-4, Jackie. What's your 20? I can't quite spot you.
I'd be in the green wrapper traveling on the double nickel, heading back to Capital City in WSSR. How about you, good buddy?
Got my hand on the throttle and my foot on the gas.
What's your handle?
Bookworm. You decide on yours yet?
Well, I thought I'd be broadcast baby. How does that grab you?
Oh, come on, Jackie. That's too undignified. After all, you're a college prof. You need to preserve that professional ethos. How about Ms. Airwaves?
Well, I was thinking of something with a little more snap to it, like Liver Lips. How about Radio Rosie? Sounds sort of like a Western, like Rodeo Rosie. And you know that all those kids in their writing take me for quite a wild ride.
That'll do, unless we think of something better. Well, Rosie, what's on your mind?
Are you still teaching over there at Teeville and tuning in to Reading and Writing and Radio? Your class and Gene Blackman's and Pam Hope's and Larry Nichols and the gang?
You bet we are, Rosie. We all wrote ghost stories like you wouldn't believe. Make your hair stand on end, and the chills go right down to your crankcase. And we wrote some pretty good poetry last week. Here, I'll recite some.
No. We'll hear it over reading, writing, and reading your writing pretty soon. What I want to do is to propose an idea. You know, Bookworm, all you in Teeville are listening to this our ninth season, and Sheila Meyer's class over in Decatur, and Dolly Bolero's, and Bob Girardi's in Litchfield, and all those Verdon classes, and Riverton, and I think we have a class in Athens, and I know we have one in Auburn.
And don't forget Susie Pettyjohn in Edinburgh, and Kathy Pettyjohn, Marge Mayo at Jefferson, and Ken Sibley at Withrow, those in Springfield.
Yes, well, the gang's all back, and we have some new faces, too. Say, Bookworm, how'd you like our lemon yellow manual?
Pretty flashy, Rosie. You got some good programs coming up, like My Mom the Mechanic, by that renowned writer, Therese Clark.
Well, here's my idea. You know what a pen pal is?
I sure, a pen pal is someone that picks up a pen and writes to someone they don't know. Even Charlie Brown has a pencil pal, because he's not allowed to use ink.
Yeah. Well, here's the idea. How would you like to team up with a pen class in another town? Your class and their class. You write to them, and they'd write to you.
Better explain that a little more, Rosie. How'd it work? How'd we get in touch with them?
Well, Reading and Writing and Radio is a writing program, right?
Right on. Right up a storm.
Well, letter writing is writing, isn't it?
10-4, you better believe it. We took that whole creative letter writing class over at Sangamon State, and now my letters are so lively that my friends and family tell me they're saving my letters to publish after I'm dead and gone. They don't dare do it before. They might get sued.
Well, what I suggest is that everyone in your class write a letter to someone in our listening area. That'd be your writing for this week. And then send them all to us. We'll select out a couple of letters to read on Reading Your Writing, but then we'd send those letters and your entire whole batch of letters on to another classroom in another town. And we'd send that classroom's letters to you.
Huh?
Well, suppose you send your letters to Jane Ford's class at Little Flower. Then her students' letters would come to you. Each class would get a batch of letters.
Copy. I'm beginning to get the picture. Then I distribute the letters to my kids, right?
10-4.
Any letter to anybody?
Well, you could read them all out loud and the kids could choose.
But suppose my kid, Rusty Racket, chooses Jane Ford's kid, Cooncap Charlie. But Cooncap Charlie chooses my student, Paula the Pest. And some of Jane's kids choose Rusty Racket.
Oh, I think it'd work out. Rusty'd write back to whoever chose him and Cooncap Charlie, and to Cooncap Charlie, and everybody'd have two pen pals. You know, you can trade around.
What if I only have 17 in my class and Jane has 27?
Well, your class would just have to write more then, I guess. I don't think we can make a perfect match with any particular classes. But you don't need to always do individual letters either. You can send a class letter, what you're doing for a special event, or you could send over drawings or make each of them a bookmark. Or you don't even have to write. You can make them a tape.
Can they all choose handles too?
Why not? That'd add to the fun.
You know, Rosie, when you spring this, you'll need to say something to the kids about writing an interesting letter, not just how are you, I'm fine. That gets deadly dull. Why not give them a topic? I know Rose Corkin's kids in Verdon write far-out journals. They could each send their pencil pals a particular interesting journal page. Might get the whole other class interested in writing journals. And I see by the manual we're going to have more poetry this year. Mr. Orton's class in Springfield could send some of his poetry to Connie Snyder's class in Auburn.
Roger.
Hey, are we on CB or ham radio?
Whatever it is, I'm reading you loud and clear.
They could copy off the reading, writing, and radio papers any week and send it to their pencil pal. Or secret pal.
Secret pal? I remember those. My kids had them up at camp. They'd draw names, and then all during the camp period, they would send their secret pal special things and do special things for them. And then at the very end of the time, the secret pal would tell who they were. That was sort of fun.
You know, in the letters class, we read some pretty interesting letters. Remember how much we liked the letters written by E.B. White, author of Charlotte's Web?
Yeah, I keep that volume in my bathroom for anyone to enjoy that has to spend a little time in there.
Well, your bathroom's not handy, but I've got my copy here. Why don't I read a few?
So that I can choose some to use on the program for an example of letters that say more than how are you, I am fine?
10-4.
Well, let's hear some. You got that one that he wrote to the fifth grade there in Larchmont, New York? You can find that one. I think it's on page 367.
Yeah, here it is. Dear pupils of 5B, I was delighted to get your letters telling me what you thought about Charlotte's Web. It must be fine to have a teacher who is a bookworm like Mrs. Bard.
Hey, she's got the same ladle, what is it, handle that you got.
Right. Anyway, he goes on to say, it is true that I have a farm. It's on the sea. My barn is big and old, and I have 10 sheep, 18 hens, a goose, a gander, a bull calf, a rat, a chipmunk, and many spiders. In the woods near the barn are red squirrels, crows, thrushes, owls, porcupines, woodchucks, foxes, rabbits, and deer. In the pasture pond are frogs, pollywogs, and salamanders. Sometimes a great blue heron comes to the pond and catches frogs. At the shore of the sea are sandpipers, gulls, plovers, and kingfishers. In the mud at low tide are clams. 7 seals live on nearby rocks and in the sea, and they swim close to my boat when I row. Barn swallows nest in the barn, and I have a skunk that lives under the garage. I didn't like spiders at first, but then I began watching one of them and soon saw what a wonderful creature she was and what a skillful weaver. I named her Charlotte, and now I like spiders along with everything else in nature. I'm glad you enjoyed the book, and I thank you for the interesting letters. Sincerely, E.B. White.
Ah, that's a fine one. How about one to his editor, Ursula Nordstrom?
Okay. Dear Ursula, the corrected drawings are fine, and I am very grateful to Garth for his trouble. I don't think it is necessary to do anything about Mrs. Arable in number 3. She looks all right. Thanks for the tall tales of Robert the Bruce. Spiders expect to have their webs busted, and they take it in their stride. One of Charlotte's daughters placed her web in the tie-ups right behind my bull calf, and I kept forgetting about it and would bust one of her foundation lines on my trips to and from the trapdoor where I pushed the manure into the cellar. After several days of this, during which she had to build the entire web each evening, she solved the matter neatly by changing the angle of the web so that the foundation line no longer crossed my path. Her ingenuity has impressed me, and I'm now teaching her to write some book and let Brentano, you know, that's that bookstore in New York, have her for their window. My wife has a virus infection of the liver called hepatitis, probably spelled wrong, but certainly no fun any way you spell it. She's yellow all over and can't eat, and is supposed to be enjoying her vacation of 3 weeks from the New Yorker editing job. Sincerely, Andy.
Andy?
That's what his friends call him.
And isn't there one there about the illustrations?
Yeah, to a guy named Cass. Dear Cass, thanks for the encouraging letter. I'm awfully glad that my spider has been well received locally, or shall I say internally. Am worried, though, at not having seen the Garth Williams picture that Ursula said was being put into the works for use in the catalog. I would like to see the picture because I feel that the book must at all odds have a beguiling Charlotte. The solution, I'm quite sure, is for the artist to depict attitudes and postures rather than facial expression. Spiders don't have much of any face. In fact, they hardly have any head, or at least the head is relatively inconspicuous. But they have 8 wonderfully articulated legs, arms, which offer a great chance for ballet treatment. Garth is such a wonderful artist that I am sure he will succeed, but for a while there he was bogged down in an attempt to produce a face. Best regards, Andy.
Those sure ought to give the kids some ideas of lively letters. Tell them to read E.B. White.
What if they say it's easy for him to write interesting letters? He's written Charlotte's Web.
Well, he never would have written Charlotte's Web if he hadn't watched spiders and pigs and geese and kept his eyes open and his ears open and his sense of humor going. But now I want to tell you about my final idea, a reading and writing and radio jamboree in the spring, where all the reading and writing and radio classes would come to Sangamon State on a school day, and we'd have reading and a big old time and writing and other stuff.
Sounds great. Can we tour WSSR and see the observatory and the Plato room?
Sure, and the new PAC building, and we'll put up a tent and we'll read our writing for everyone to hear. Every class will have a chance with a loudspeaker. And then you'll get to meet your pen pal and your pen class. You can have your picnic lunch together, and I think maybe Sangamon State will give you all an ice cream bar.
Sounds like a great time, but won't you need some teachers on the committee?
10-4. I'm hoping some will volunteer.
Well, count me in, and for the pen pal exchange, too. Now, let me be sure I got this straight. My kids write letters this week to an unknown pen pal in an unknown class, and you match them up. And they make their letters lively and interesting, and they can all use CB handles if they want to, or be a secret pal.
10-4, you've got it.
All the classes should send in soon, shouldn't they, so that you'll have plenty of classes to match up?
That'd make things a lot easier.
Gotcha.
Gotta be heading into the work 20. Catch you on the flip-flop.
I'll send my 3s and 8s. Gotta get out of here.
Catch you on the landline, bookworm.
Negatory on the landline. Get your pen out, Rosie, and start scratching.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.